بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
ربنا على أهل بيته الطيبين من الجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرع إلى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليك محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه من مقاربة التوبة وتمتعه فيها قريبا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
I won't take much of your time today because already you're all tired. You'll be here all the way up to the Fajr. It's this glorious wasiyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. And here Imam comes to this point and talks about rizq. Rizq means sustenance. Doesn't only mean food and drink. Food and drink is a part or a minute side of that rizq. Anything which is provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, everything is provided by Him. So all that is rizq. Rizq can be maddi, material. Rizq can be maddi. If you learn something from someone, that is rizq. If you get a good spouse, that is rizq. Good parents, rizq. Good children, rizq. If you find a good fellow mate in school or college, that is rizq. Or if you are in the plane and you've got a fellow companion who's sitting next to you, good person, rizq. So all that rizq deserves a thanks of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So rizq doesn't only mean food and drink, it could be anything that comes to us. Now, rizq is halal. Whatever gets to us has to be halal. If people, by way of haram, or haram jobs, or haram consumption, they get something to eat, that is not rizq. Rizq has to be halal at all times. So that rizq sought by a halal job or rizq, for example, food and drink that has come to us, it has to come through pure, clean and tahir sources. That is rizq. Now here Imam in this wasiyya to his son says, wa rizqu rizqan, that is rizq are two types, two kinds. Rizqun tajlubuhu wa rizqun yajlubuk. There is a rizq, a sustenance which you are after. For example, job. For example, you're looking for a spouse, you work hard, and you get to her, get to him, or you don't get to her, get to him. So with this mindset of rizq that we have, that everything is being provided by Allah, that is a regulator which helps us. Now if we take this concept of rizq and the rizq provider, which is Allah, away from our life, it will be a lifestyle like the lifestyle of people here in the West, without God having to play any role in their lives. They run one duty, two duties, one job, two shifts, two jobs, maybe 10-15 hours of their day, just running and running, working and working, making money, making good houses and homes. At the end of the day, nothing else. So there is nothing which regulates that rizq factor or that provider of that rizq, which is Allah at any time. And we find that this ideology of having someone in our mindset as the provider of rizq, it eases things for us. For example, if someone wanted to marry someone, if a boy wanted to marry a girl, and he did everything he wanted, waited for months, waited for years, prepared, availed everything, and at the end of the day, they say, no, we don't want to give our daughter to you. Now if he doesn't have this regulator in his mind, that the provider of rizq is Allah, at the end of the day, he'll be going to hurt himself. It's his feelings are going to be hurt. He will have to see a psychiatrist. Maybe a very dangerous situation may come up. He may hurt his body himself. Because there is no one in his mind that can regulate. But if we have that risk factor in place, that is ma min da'batin fil amr illa ala Allahi rizqaha, that is, there is nothing in this creation of Allah but that Allah provides the rizq of that. Now we put two things over here. First of all, when Allah created this universe, it's not only human beings here. We've got all these different animals, different insects, all these different lives, man, jinn, etc. So when he has designed something, he has created something, مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, but that Allah has to provide. He has to provide. If he has created, he has to provide. It cannot be a set that he has created and then he says, I will not provide. That cannot be done. That is against his wisdom. That's against his justice. And if, God forbid, we believe that, it means that Allah is not, God is not liable to being God. He created, and halfway, midway, he just left, abandoned us. There was this news about 10, 15 years ago, when the Russians, they had sent that a spaceship with their astronauts, and they wanted the astronauts to come back, and they said, we don't have budget to bring them back. Funds are over, we can't bring them back. So Allah doesn't work that way. When he makes something, it is forever. So when he wants to create something, he has created something, he has created everything for everyone until the last moment of his life. Now this beautiful system which Allah has made, for example, looking into the seas and the oceans, there is a species of fish that can live up in the ocean. They can't go down. If they go down, they'll die. They cannot go down. So there is an altitude in the oceans, there is an altitude even in the space. We, human beings, if we go too high up, we can't breathe. So we have to be in a special place. So Allah has to provide that oxygen for us in this dunya. It isn't as such that He has created us here and He says, oxygen I will not give. Basic requirements He has to give, He must provide. When Allah, the Barakatama, He speaks to Musa, Musa complains, says, Allah, ruin this Fir'aun. He's getting on my nerves. Allah says, what shall I do? Says Prophet Musa, kill him, ruin him, don't give him water, food. Just stop everything on him. Total sanctions. Allah says, that I will not do. Although he is Fir'aun, he has stood against me, as long as I am God, I will provide him. That is, the provisions will be given by Allah until the end. So this regulator, that rizq is provided by Allah, has to be in us, in our minds. And if we do go for jobs, all these interviews are given, and all of them are failures, for example, and no one finds any job for months and months, years and years. But if we don't have that in mind, a person will get mad. But if he has that ideology that Allah is there, and I'm trying my best, I'm striving for as much as I have to, if it is destined for me, it will come to me. If it is not, it will not come to me. It shouldn't be as such that we try so hard some things. Many a times we cross the limits and start putting our feet into the shoes of God. That is not desired, that is not required, that is not designed. We shouldn't be doing that. To our ability, whatever we can, we have to work. We have to work. If we get it, Alhamdulillah. If we don't get it, Alhamdulillah. In both cases. So here says, rizq, rizqan. Two types of rizq. There is a rizq that's lubuhu, you go after it. Wa rizqun yatlubu. That is, you may not be asking for that rizq, but Allah sends it to you. It was mentioned the other day that Prophet Nuh, he says, Allah, save my son. Allah says, no, he's not your son, he's not from you. I will ruin him, instead I'll give you some more things. I'll save the nation, I'll save those people who are with you. Mu'mineen at large were saved, his son was ruined. So Allah does not give something to someone, instead unwantedly he pours down upon us. And this is something we have witnessed in our lives. That is, we ask for something we don't get, we get much more. Says, فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتِهِ أَتَاكَ. That is, if that rizq that you are after, it doesn't get to you, you don't get to it, says, that will come to you. It will come to your way. وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيْهِ أَنَّ الدَّهْرَ ذُو سُرُوفٍ. Now again, if you look into Quran, when that debate that we have with Prophet Ibrahim, with Namrud, here Namrud says, who is your God, Ibrahim? You are talking so loud that you rely upon someone, that is, your sustenance provided. Who is your Lord? And here Prophet Ibrahim, such beautiful, he says, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِ. Says, he who has created me, has guided me. وَالَّذِي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ. That is, he is he who feeds me, and when I get thirsty, he quenches my thirst, he provides water to me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And if I fell sick, it is Allah who grants that shifa to me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِ. And it is him who kills me, and it is him who will bring me back to life. So that is that ideology that we have to have, that everything is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then Imam says, وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيْ أَنَّ الدَّهْرَ ذُو سُرُوفٍ. That Hassan, this time you are living in, this dunya where you are living and dwelling in, it changes a lot. It will never remain the same at all times. Although we want our lifestyle to be stable, to be safe at all times, from the first day we step in till the day we die, nothing, it should be a smooth and comfortable ride. But that's not to happen. That is not meant to happen. There will be ups, there will be downs. You find people who are poor, but Allah gives them so much, they become rich overnight. And they are rich, and overnight they lose everything and they are poor. So all that is designed by Allah, because He loves His creation so much, sometimes He pinches them. Sometimes there are all these needles that come across, there are these tests and afflictions that come across, and all that is because He loves His creation, He wants the better of their creation. And it was mentioned in these days, early days of this month, that we have to have that mindset that whatever is falling on us, unfolding before us, it's for our good, because He who is unfolding is all good. And that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ كُلَّ جَمَالٍ. And then says, وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيْهِ أَنَّ الدَّهْرُ ذُو سُرُوفٍ فَلَا تَكُنْ مِمَّنْ يَشْتَدُّ لَائِمَتُهُ وَيَقِلُّ عَلَّ النَّاسِ عُذْرُهُ. Now many times we find that when we have such happenings in our life, people, they change tone. Many a times they start blaming. Many a times people, they start blaming right God. That if when they see all these afflictions being poured on them, God forbid, one may say that Allah, He couldn't show His power, His might to anyone, He's just showing all that to me. That is kufr. That is being thankless to say all that. So Imam says, don't be among those who blame a lot and seek pardon very little. So that is bad. We have to be among those who don't blame. Although troubles are there, although problems are there, but that love and bond towards Allah has to be there. That is, our hearts have to be at rest, although we are in trouble. That is the beauty. And then says, مَا أَقْبَى الْخُدُوءَ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةَ وَالْجَفَى عِنْدَ الْغِنَى. And how bad is that is a person is in need and he thinks that his needs can be fulfilled by X, by Y, by B, by Z, by someone. Says how bad it is that you go and humble yourself so much before that individual, before others, when you are in need. And even bad, it's that person who can help someone out when someone is in need and he is being disloyal to that person by not helping, although he has all that wealth and riches, but he doesn't humble himself or help anyone. That is also disloyalty. Now I'll quote you an incident here as to how rizq gets to us. We believe in Allah. Everything is provided by Him. Everything is designed by Him. This taqdeer which we talk about, and every night in these du'as we recite that there is a taqdeer, a decree, the divine command of Allah, which we ask that the best of it be designed for us. Now the best of it is be designed for us, it isn't as such that he sits and we have to just sit idle and he just keeps on designing. No. Our destiny, our taqdeer, we have to design. We design it, we present it, he certifies it, he accepts it. That is, in this month of Ramadan, if we work hard, both in the spiritual field and the material field, and then we ask that Allah sees, yes, this is what he is capable of, that will be certified for him. So destiny of an individual is designed by that individual himself. Because asbab are there, and nothing happens by just ittifaq and accident. No, nothing happens in this world by accident. Everything is done and it happens. One of the great ulama who passed away about 30 years ago, marhum Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Awai Mujtahidi, among the noble ulama living in Qom. And for him, many of the great ulama, they used to say that the tasks which he carries out are instructions which he gets from Ma'sumin alayhi wasalam. So that is again a big rank, that someone becomes a servant of Ahlul Bayt, and they say this is to happen, go and give this to that individual. That providing of that rizq and sustenance directly from Ma'sumin through someone in this dunya, via someone. Now this great alim, he has majalis in his house every Thursday. And the reciter of his majalis is Sayyid Burqi. In those times, he was one of the famous reciters in Qom. Buried also in Qom. And if you go on the website of Hazrat Ma'suma alayhi salam, you'll find a brief biography of this Sayyid. Now this Sayyid recites for this Shaykh every Thursday. And it so happens that one day, after he recites that majlis, his usual pattern was that every Thursday he resides, and after that majlis he sits, has a cup of tea, and then leaves. Talks with those present in that house. Says that day he recited, he came down, he was in a rush, and he wanted to leave. Shaykh, the host, he says, sit, why such a rush? Why are you in a hurry? Have a cup of tea, and then you leave. As mark of respect to that old man, to the host, he sits down, has a cup of tea, immediately stands up to leave. He says, why such a rush? You're waiting for something, it's on its way, coming to you. Now he didn't say anything to this person, nor did anyone know what is happening. He sat down once again, because as mark of respect to that old person. Now, he sat a little while, stood, and then says, okay, Khuda Hafiz. He says, why such a rush? Are you not waiting for a car? That car is on its way. It's coming to you now. He couldn't relate, because many a times when you are after something and something is being told to you, you cannot communicate with your brain at all at some times. He couldn't. He sat down. After a moment, this Shaykh, he said, this is the set of keys for your car. It is sent for you from Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Imam has sent this set of keys for you with a complaint. And the complaint is that when you've served someone, that is, you've served us Ahlul Bayt for a life long, and now you are in need, why did you go and knock any other door? That was the complaint which Imam has. It says, you served us, we will give you, we will provide you. Now he burst into tears, came out of that majlis, burst into tears. Now well-wishers present in that majlis, they saw that standing up, sitting down three times, and all of a sudden he starts crying and leaves that majlis, panics. They come and ask him what happened. He says, I'm getting old, and all these days I walked to every house to recite Abu Abdullah. Now I wanted a car, and I couldn't afford it myself. I sought help and assistance from others. They said, okay, come, we'll do it for you. And in those days, buying a car in Iran also wasn't easy. So you had to register, and after the Qurayshi and all that, your name came out. And only then could you buy that car. He says that now was the day for me to go and pay them and get the set of keys for that car after paying that sum, And now Abu Abdullah Hussein has sent me a car free of cost and with this complaint that when you need it, when you've served us, do you think that we will leave you stranded? That is asbab, how Allah creates. That is Allah creates all these asbab, He breaks all these asbab. If something is to get to us, it will get to us. No one can be a hindrance. Many ayat of Quran, they talk about this. That is, if something is destined to you, it will get to you. No one can break it. So, if something is not destined to you, that will also not get to you. No matter how much you try, how much you strive. This doesn't mean that we don't do anything. We have to do what we have to do. And after that, we rely upon Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. And then we say, Istawakkaltu alayk. During the time of Rasulullah, when this ayah was revealed, people, they started worshipping, they left everything, their day-to-day tasks, sat in the mosque and started worshipping all day. Rasulullah passes by that mosque and says that, what kind of a people are you? It's 9 to 5, you should be working. And this is no prayer time. They say that, نَحْنُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, that we are among those who rely upon Allah. And Rasulullah says, what do they do, these people who rely upon Allah? And they say that we've heard that this ayah has been revealed which says, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, that whosoever relies upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. So based upon that ayah that was revealed upon you, we also rely upon Allah and we are sitting in the mosque doing nothing, just praying and worshipping. Rasulullah says, أَنْتُمُ الْمُتَوَكِّعُونَ, you are a burden in the community. Not those who rely upon Allah. Relying upon Allah means you work as you have to work, as you ought to work, and then you submit that to Allah. That is, you appoint Allah as your wakil, as your lawyer, as your solicitor. As in our day-to-day tasks, we appoint a lawyer to do our, to carry out our missions. We appoint Allah as our lawyer, as our solicitor, and we hand over the affairs to Allah, and it is Him who takes it. That is, I do my job and then my heart and my soul has to rest upon Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala, that is Tawakkul. So here Imam says, what risk for rizqan? Two types of risks, two kinds of risk. There is a risk which you seek and there is a risk which seeks you. That is, there is a risk, you go after it, there is a risk which will come to you. May Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala, this risk, the best of it, be granted to each one of us in these nights of this sacred month of Ramadan. And the best of these is the presence of the Imam of Age, Ajalallahu Ta'ala Rajahu Sharif. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala help us in these last few days of this sacred month of Ramadan, count us among His best of servants, and those who seek Shahadat in His service. Mu'mineen worldwide, oppressed worldwide, mu'mineen hit by disasters. May Allah help them, save them, protect them, grant every happiness and joy to each one of them. Ya Allah, bihaq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'daha wa baniha, wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha, all those who have passed away, all those who have hopes in these majalis, elevate their ranks, forgive them, and forgive each one of us. Wajid fi faraj Mawlana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh.